Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn, if we would, to the book of 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, starting with verse 1. First John chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. If we skip down to verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. We'll be rounding off this topic this morning on the topic, the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ, and I trust that the Lord will help us to round out what he wants us to hear this morning. So we were speaking of, in I guess the last four Sunday school lessons, on the revelation of Jesus Christ, and we started with a message that was preached in Sunday service, and have tried to expound a little bit by little bit of what we're trying to emphasize as far as the importance of revelation. As you recall, for Brother Branham said, the importance of revelation by the Spirit to a true believer can never be overemphasized. Revelations means more to you than perhaps you realize. Now, I'm not talking about this book of Revelation, you. I'm talking about all revelation. It is tremendously important to the church. Now, we want to finish this off in going into the seals and understanding that the believer, the true believer, lives by revelation. We don't live by intellect. We don't live by the way we understand things and the way we think. It's by revelation. Now, sometimes when we look in the scripture and we look at the message and we sometimes take things and we look at them in, literal senses sometimes, or put them in senses as far as pushing it out instead of looking at it close. Now, when we look at 1 John chapter 4, he's talking about spirits, and every person is driven by a spirit. The words that are in the scriptures, they have spirits behind them. The words that we speak to one another, whatever we say, we're in some type of a spirit, right? We're motivated by spirits. And so what we are trying to do is identify the spirit with spiritual thinking. Now, trying to see, not by actions, as far as like this person and that person is this way, but identifying the spirits that are moving that individual. Are we all together? So revelation gives us the spiritual insight to be able to see things. Okay? Now, we can see the will of God through revelation. So We cannot understand God on our own, but we've got God, have to have God to supernaturally open it up to us. Now, when we look here, when we were talking about Revelation, we know that the devil is trying to get us away from the true understanding of the Word and true understanding of the revelation that God is giving to us in this hour. Now, when we move on, last Sunday we talked about the sixth seal, and we spoke of how in the message on the sixth seal, Brother Branham is saying that we are not to try to figure it out. And he says, just be humble, just be loving, and let God open it to you. Now, as he opens up, going into the seventh seal, if you just stand by here for a second. So he says here, first of all, leading up to the seventh seal, and question and answer is on the seals, paragraph 23, he says, now look here, let me show you something. See, did you know there's 10,000 of voices in the room right now? Now he's talking about a way that you're able to catch the revelation. See, he says, see, it's got to strike something first to reveal it, see? Now do you understand? So just don't interpret nothing. If God wants you to know anything, he will send it to you. So just be real, real solid now. Hold still. Something has happened. And now just be real. You understand what I mean, don't you? And just be, don't try to make yourself odd to be a Christian. Because you see, you take yourself away from God. If you can understand it, this is that third pull. You should have caught that the other day, see? So you remember there'll be no impersonation like there was of the other two, see? So that's as far as you should know. Now just remember that you see now there's something taking place in this room. And there's something here, there's actual in this room, angels, voice of God. But if you can't hear the natural voice without something to send it out, how are you going to hear the spiritual voice? Now let me just read a few more things here. Now you might make believe that somebody is singing this certain song that might not even be there, see? But when it actually strikes the crystal that is supposed to strike, then it gives a true interpretation and vindicates it by showing the picture. See what I mean? Now the Spirit of God, when it speaks through the true word, it vindicates itself to show itself that it's right. You understand now. All right, now let's pray just again. Now the Scripture says those who are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And so the Spirit of God leads the children of God. Now we are not driven by our own decisions, our own thinking. Now, a true child of God is what I'm talking about when they get into more of a maturity. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me take a case in point here. Brother Branham, remember his campaign managers were frustrated with him because he wouldn't give his meetings scheduled out many months in advance. Do you remember that? So Brother Baxter would say, hey, Brother Brand, we want to go here, here, and here, and let's just reserve this place, next year or 8 months from now, and this place 12 months from now, and so we could have everything locked in, because we all know that when you plan, you want to do everything in advance, because if you plan everything in advance, then you'll be assured to get that place, right? So if you have an auditorium you want to reserve it as far out as possible. So that's what his campaign managers were trying to do. They were trying to reserve places far in advance, but they would say, let's go to Indiana. He said, just hold on. He said, let's go to Michigan. He would say, just hold on a second. And he said, let me pray about it. Would that be frustrating to you as a campaign manager? You're trying to plan things out so you have everything situated, but he's saying, hold on. And so how long are you going to hold on? Like, are you going to wait till the last minute? a month from now, a month and a half, or a few weeks or days in advance. Do you think that could be frustrating? Are we all awake this morning? So it could be frustrating because Brother Branham was trying to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, when we talked about God's ways are not our ways, His ways are higher than our ways. Remember, Brother Branham makes this statement. He says in the seventh seal, may I just pass this to you. When the supernatural comes in, that's the mind of Christ. You become so far away from your own thinking till you're in your own mind. Let me try to explain that because I can't. See, I couldn't do that. There's nobody could do it. How could that man that's the Elijah stand up there on the mountain under the presence of God and pull down fire from heaven, then rain right behind the fire, and then close the heavens if it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months and go right back and call the rain on that same day and under the anointing and took 400 priests out and killed them and then run to the wilderness screaming for his life on a threat of one woman, see? Jezebel, she swore that she'd take his life when Ahab and all of them was there to see the presence of God and the great miracle done. See? The Spirit had left him, and in his natural way of thinking, he didn't know how to think. See, he couldn't think for himself. And so we know in the message, Brother Branham says that we've got to get away from our own thinking and let the Spirit of God and the mind of Christ take over, right? In the Scriptures, it says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And so in order for us to be one with Christ, we have to have the same mind, the same thinking, and catch the same mind of God. Do we understand that? So he says this. He said, don't try to explain a supernatural. You can't do it, see? Only thing to do is just go right ahead, and I'll try to make myself clear as I can, but from henceforth, I think I'll never try it again, see? You just absolutely believe or not. And now I'll see you a little later why. Now, so Elijah was anointed with the Spirit of God. He was given the will of God. He was in tune with God. And then when he went to face the gods of Baal, he went to face the priests of Baal, then he went there in courage, right? Because he was under the anointing, he was under the Spirit of God. And then he killed those priests. He let fire come down from heaven. But remember, he ran away at the threat of a woman because why? The anointing had left him, right? And so now he was in his own human thinking. He says he didn't know how to think. And so we have got to get to a place where we don't know how to think. We don't rely on our own thinking. And we rely upon God to guide us in our thinking. He says this in the seventh seal. First of all, I want to go to this. Modern events are made clear by prophecy. So looking at Jesus, he said, sure, Caiaphas, he couldn't see it. What is he talking about? The revelation of who Jesus Christ was, of the man standing in flesh. Caiaphas, he couldn't see it. Why didn't he look down? He was a bishop. He was a pope. Of all the churches together, why couldn't that man see Jesus standing there? Why couldn't he understand? When he was singing the 23rd Psalm, the 22nd Psalm, rather, in the church, and my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there he's hanging on the cross, the very scriptures, the very God that they were worshiping, they were condemning him and killing him for a fanatic. There it is. It'd shock you if I tell you just about to repeat again. The Bible said he was on the outside trying to knock to get in, and nobody could let him in. He that I love, I chasten and rebuke, I scold him. So Caiaphas, who was a high priest, who was a religious man, he did not understand the purpose of Jesus Christ. He did not receive the revelation of who he was. Now he says here, Moses went down with the commandments of God to deliver Israel, and when he did, he performed some miracles. The impersonators followed him. If they had been first, he would have been the impersonator. See, he had the word of the Lord, and the Lord vindicated. He just sat still. And you know the same things
promised in this last days, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so will these men of reprobate mind concerning the truth. And when an organization takes a man right down through that organization, it showed it did not come from God, because God does those things to attract the people's mind, and then the message follows it. If it isn't, then it's not God. It's not God. God always does that. Judas couldn't understand it. He walked right with him. He didn't see it. So we know that there were men that traveled with Jesus Christ that were around that message, that were around Jesus who was a pastor, but yet they did not understand. They did not understand the revelation of Jesus Christ. Judas walked with him. Caiaphas was there in his day, but yet Judas did not understand. Caiaphas did not understand. But the real ordained of God, that real gene, that real germ, a soul of God that was in God before the foundation of the world. So those who are predestinated will be able to catch it. But we're not to rely on our own thinking, but as God gives it to us. Now, if you look at remember, the prophet caught the mind of God when he spoke squirrels into existence. And we spoke that's not in the message of the hour, that's not in the scripture, it's not in the scripture to say squirrels. But yet it was a thought of God that man of God caught, right? Because he was yielded so much to God that the Spirit of God flowed through him, that he caught the mind of God and he spoke the spoken word and he spoke those squirrels into existence, right? Now, this relationship with the bride and Christ is a mystery. We know that. It is the greatest revelation, and it was not revealed to anybody. The only people it's revealed to is the bride of Jesus Christ. So what does the bride need to know in this hour? Now, he says this in the rapture. But to the church, the bride, the rapture. Let me go back a little bit. On the seventh seal, seven, God's perfect number, seven. Just right down the row, seven thunders uttered straight together like they're spelling out something. Notice at that time, John started to write and he said, don't write it. Jesus never spoke of it. John couldn't write it. Angels know nothing about it. What is it? It's the thing that Jesus said even the angels of heaven didn't know nothing about it. See, he didn't know it himself. Said only God would know it. But he told us when we begin to see these signs coming. Now, what does he say in Matthew chapter 24? Remember, chapter 24 is talking about the end time. And chapter 25. When you look at Mark chapter 13, it's talking about the end time. When you look in Luke, talking about when heavens and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Talking about the fig tree, but he's also talking about the end time. What is a common thing that he says? Watch and pray. So he says here, God, only God would know it, but he told us when we began to see these signs coming, take heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. So the bride of Christ is looking for a sign, looking for the time that she's living in. Does she know exactly the time or the hour? The scripture says no, right? Only the Father knows the time or the hour. Is that well understood? But he says, watch and pray. Now he says this in the rapture, but to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. It's revealed to her that the revelation, the true bride of Christ, will be waiting for that revelation of the rapture. Now it is a revelation, for the revelation is faith. You cannot have a revelation without being faith. Faith is a revelation. Because it's something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation. Faith is something that has been revealed to you like it was to Abraham that could call anything contrary to what has been revealed to him as though it wasn't so. Now faith, that's what faith is the revelation of God. The church is built upon a revelation, the whole entire body. Now he says that the rapture is a revelation. A revelation is when something is open to you and you can clearly see it. Is that right? Now, Brother Branham talks about there's three areas that people dwell in or are guided in. He talks about the humanistic, he talks about revelation, and he talks about a vision. So he gives this example, he talks about the humanistic thinking. So do you think that we can think humanistic as far as in the spiritual realm about the spiritual things? Yes, we can. Now he talks about this, he gives this example. So when we're thinking in the humanistic realm, he's thinking of like, I hope that things will get better. I will pray for you that this will happen. Do you understand? You know, you're sick, I want to pray for you. That's the humanistic sense. But the revelation is when something is revealed to your heart. Now he gives this example. He was praying one time, and then he read the story of Joseph. When he read the story of Joseph, something spoke to him so much that he said, you know, thank God for a man like Joseph. And then he got this revelation in his heart. He said God told him and spoke to him in his heart that he would have a son, Joseph. Do you all know the story? And he said that wasn't a vision, that was not humanistic, but that was a revelation. And so that was something that was given to his heart that he knew that he could stand on. Now, when there was opposition that came, remember his first child was a female after that vision, right? They said he got made fun of. Shouldn't you have called that child Josephine? So they were making fun of him. Do you remember that? And so his wife was having a hard time having children. So we know that she had to do cesarean sections because it was very difficult for her to bear children. And the doctor warned that she could die if she has more children. So now the pressure is mounting on Brother Branham as far as, you know, the child after you had the revelation was not a male. And now your wife, you should not have children because of your wife's situation. So all these oppositions in the humanistic understanding is opposing the revelation of God. Do we all understand that? Okay. But revelation overrides what we can see and the human opposition that goes against it. Now, we all say amen, but when we get into those situations, how do we handle those situations when it's revealed to us? You see, when we look at the scriptures and we don't have a true revelation, when the opposition comes, we will fall. But if you have a true revelation of God deep in your heart, that's something that will override the circumstances no matter how contrary it is. So if God revealed into your heart that you will be healed of this cancer, when you begin to feel that the cancer is eating up your body and the x-rays show that cancer is consuming you and you will die within 3 weeks, as far as a doctor says, revelation will overcome what you can see and say that I will be healed. It doesn't matter what I can see. So it's something that defies logic. It's something that defies scientific understanding because it is something that God drops down into your heart that you know that you will overcome what you can see. And brothers and sisters, that is true faith because when you have that revelation in your heart, that is what enables you to overcome all circumstances. And that is what the prophet is saying, that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's what the scripture says, because of any situation, no matter you're facing the enemy, that you will overcome because God has dropped something in your heart. And that's why, brothers and sisters, and we need to tell of our children that we need to have the revelation of Jesus Christ, because that is the only thing that's going to overcome. Are we understanding? So Brother Branham, he had a revelation in his heart that he was going to have Joseph. So no matter what was opposing him, he knew that he was going to have Joseph. Whatever happened to his wife, whatever, he knew that it was going to take place. Now, so God reveals himself through the heart, through revelation. God reveals himself through visions. So remember, Brother Branham, he would not say that this would happen. I'm going to pray for you. And he would not presume. Presume means to venture without authority. So that means you will be healed, and you don't know that. You don't have the authority to say that because God never told you that. And so he was very careful not to say those things, but he waited until he got a revelation of God. So God revealed himself to Brother Branham through visions. He revealed himself through revelation in his heart. But those are the ways that God gave his answer or the thought of God. And so when he gave a vision, then he knew that it was going to take place. So remember when he had the vision of the boy that was going to be run over the car in Finland. And so he says, get out the flyleaf of your Bible, because he saw the dead child there. The vision was given a few years ago. He saw the dead child on the ground. He said, get out the flyleaf of your Bible. Check it. What does the prophecy say? It says this mountain will be here. The road will be here. These people will be here. He says, everything is in place. Thus saith the Lord, this child shall rise. That child rose, and he said, there's no devil out of hell that's going to stop it now, right? Because he knew, because the revelation of the vision gave him the faith to overcome what he could see. Amen. And so the true child of God does not live by, my understanding of the scriptures or what I think, but lives by revelation. Amen. So he says the rapture is a revelation. So the bride of Christ will receive a revelation that the rapture will take place. Now he says this in the seventh seal. If you want something to happen, now you'll have to take my word for this. If I'm planning on doing something, I know better than to tell anybody about it. Not that that person will tell it, but Satan will hear it. See, he can't get it in my heart there as long as God's got it closed up with the Holy Spirit. So it's between me and God. See, he don't know nothing about it until you speak it. Then he hears it. Now, we're talking about the seven thunders and the seventh seal right now. And I've tried. I tell people I'll do a certain thing and watch the devil cut off every wheel he can to get there, to beat me to it. But if I can get the revelation from God and just don't say nothing about it, then it's different. So remember that, you look at the scriptures, things were open, but when it came to the seventh seal and the seven thunders, he said, seal it up. It was not even written about, right? But it's to only be opened at the end time. And he's speaking of how sometimes we need to zip our mouths, right? A lot of times we want to say things, right? And Brother Branham even have a problem with this, because if you look at the vision, remember that he gave of the fishes and the fishing and the pools. Do you remember that? So he says, hey, there was a vision, show these guys how to fish. He said, put the lure in there, and then you'll have a little fish, and, you'll just pull it first time, and that'll draw some more fish, right? He said, that's your first pull. The second pull, then jerk it again, and you're going to get even more fish, because what you want to get on the third pull is that rainbow trout. And so as he was showing these other people, and he says they're ministers in the vision, he starts to explain things and tell them how it works and different things. And then so he got caught up in a bunch of line afterwards, and he wasn't able to make that third pull because he kept trying to explain things. And then God spoke to him in a voice and said, you're always trying to explain everything. Don't try to explain things. That third pull, you can't explain it, and it can't be impersonated. And so he was crying because he says, I'm always trying to explain things to people. If you remember, in his ministry, the second part of his ministry with the secrets of the heart, he tried to explain it. And was it not impersonated by many ministries? Yes, it was tried to be impersonated. But he said this last one will not be impersonated. And so he had the problem of trying to explain things to everybody so they could understand. And that was something that was in his heart, because he didn't want people to miss anything that he had, right? But God said, I told you not to do that. So Brother Branham had to learn. Now, what is the hardest thing to control, brothers and sisters? The tongue, right? In the book of James, it talks about the tongue is unwieldy evil, right? full of things and is on fire of hell. And so when you look in, here's an example in Stature of a Perfect Man. It talks about the temperance, right? Temperance is self-control. He said, temperance doesn't mean stop drinking alcohol here. No, temperance doesn't mean alcoholic cure, not in this case. This is Bible temperance, the Holy Spirit temperance. That's just one of the lusts of the flesh, but we're talking about Holy Spirit temperance. That means how to control your tongue, not be a tattler, how to control your temper, not fly off every time anybody speaks cross to you. Oh my. And so when we get something, some information, sometimes we want to pass it along, right? Sometimes it might not be good information and we have a hard time controlling that, right? Sometimes when people treat us wrong, we have a hard time keeping our tongue, you know? We want to tell somebody. We want to tell them back, give them a piece of our mind, or we want to talk about them in some way. That's human nature. Does anybody not feel that way many times? We're all human beings, right? Now, there's a difference between trying to manufacture the Word of God and actually having the Word of God control you. Spirit of God. Now, Brother Branham talks about many times a sheep bears wool. He doesn't manufacture the wool, he bears wool. But a make-believer or an unbeliever tries to manufacture it and make themselves look a certain way. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you take this part of the message about Stature of a Perfect Man, about temperance, and you try to do it on your own, you will explode. People treat you, you don't have the nature to keep it in, and you try to keep it in and try to control it yourself, you will explode, you will fail. But you've got to let God change you, right? And does it happen overnight? No, it does not. It happens through trials, testing, and you learn each time as you go along. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
Can anybody say amen? They're going through a current trial right now, and they're seeing that take place. And so that's why God's given us child training and trials to go through that. Because the first trial, you may, blow up at the person. The second trial, you may be a little bit calmer, but you still can't control your tongue. The third time, better. And then you go through these trials until you eventually pass. And you know when Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," that was natural. That took place just like it was a glove fitting a hand. It was part of him. And so, brothers and sisters, the way we speak, it's got to be a nature that we don't speak because it just comes naturally. Somebody hurts us and then we turn the other cheek. The scripture or the words become life in our life. They become manifest in such a way that everything is a natural movement. But when I get to this part about speaking, the adoption is when a child of God comes to full maturity. So full maturity is that they're controlling their impulses, their desires, right? So you look at a child, and when they come to a maturity, like your young son, you want him to be mature. You want him to be responsible. You don't want him to be carried about by his desires and whims and things like that. You want him to be disciplined. And so you train him in that direction, and so does God want us to be disciplined. He doesn't want us to be pulled away this way, pulled away that way, and hold our tongue and do the Father's will no matter what. And so we're coming to maturity, and so when he spoke of this about holding your tongue, about the revelation, I believe the bride has got to get to that stage. If we can't control our tongue right now, we still got a ways to go. Because God's got to get us the ability to tell us the secret things and we don't give it away. You know, husband and wife, they have a relationship, and if they have a really close relationship, there's a secret that they talk about and they don't reveal it to other people. The same thing with Christ and his bride. They have a secret relationship. They have a secret revelation. They have the invisible union. And so they don't tell about all the secrets that are going on. So he says, I don't tell anything about it. Remember, Satan will try to impersonate. He will try to impersonate everything that the church will do. He's tried to do it. We've noticed it through the Antichrist, but this is one thing he cannot impersonate. There'll be no mimics to this because he don't know. There's no way for him to know it. It's the third pull. He just knows nothing about it. See, he doesn't understand it. There it is again. He doesn't understand it. Judas didn't understand it. Caiaphas didn't understand it. Satan didn't understand it. When Jesus went to the cross, Satan did not understand that revelation. Neither did Judas, neither did Caiaphas, right? But yet that was a secret move of God. It was through humbleness, humbling himself to the Roman Empire, humbling himself to the Roman centurion, to the Pharisees, Sadducees, they were all wrong. He humbled himself, and so by doing that, he went past them. He went over their heads. And then he went to the cross and therefore could have release us, redeem us, and bring us to a place where we could receive the Holy Ghost and become united with him again. And so it goes, remember the simplicity, the humbleness, the way up is down. So Jesus went down so that he could go up and we could come up with him. Now he says he doesn't understand it. We talked to different, if you look in the scriptures, there's so many times that Satan looks like he's about to destroy the people of God, and God turns the situation around because it's hidden from the devil. And so God works that way, and so you can see the pattern of what will take place in the end time with this ministry of the bride and this third pull, because it will be a total secret. Now he says this, but there's a secret lays beneath that. Glory to God in the highest. I can never think the same the rest of my life. When I seen. Now he says, but when you remember when he took me up there and said, this is that third pull and no one will know it. You remember that. Visions never fail. They're perfectly the truth. The first pull talks about anointed ones at the end time. Healing. Second pull, prophesying. Third pull, the opening of the word, the mysteries revealed. You see, when you say the opening of the word, it's not just this, but it's this, and it's become open. And then now you have a revelation of it. Now your faith begins to increase, as I talked about the example of faith. The mysteries revealed. Remember, the third pull was the opening of them seven seals to reveal the hidden truth that's been sealed in the Word. So the bride will receive the revelation. And if you look in the Scriptures, this has been happening all along from Genesis to Revelation, that his people have been living on revelation. I just want to read this last part here of the seventh seal. He says, now he says in 301, paragraph 301, now I better stop right here. See? Okay, hold on a second. All right. He says this, now I better stop right here. See, I just feel checked not to say no more about it. This is that present time in 1964. So just remember the seventh seal, the reason it was not opened, the reason it did not reveal it, no one should know about it. Now he's talking about that time here because you've got to listen to the whole thing. And I want you to know before I even note any word about it, that vision come years ago. You remember that. And here it is, just as this other has slides right straight into the word exactly where it was. And God knows my heart. I never one time thought of such a thing as that. So remember the key thing he said. He said, you know, it's totally different than your own thinking. When you look into supernatural, it's the mind of Christ, and it's totally different from your own thinking. He says, I never one time thought of such a thing as that. You notice now for the end of time message, this seal, after all, he's revealed all the six seals, but it don't say nothing about the seventh. And the end time seal, when it starts, it will be absolutely a total secret according to the Bible. Now, how did I know the other day, last Sunday, a week ago, today, when I was preaching on be humble, remember, God deals in little things. I didn't realize what it really was talking about, and now I see it. It is in such a humble way. You think that something like that would be revealed to the Vatican, but it comes just like John the Baptist. It comes like the birth of our Lord in a stable. Now notice, so help me by God, I tell the truth, that these are spiritually discerned to me. Discerned by the Holy Spirit, and by every one of them has identified his place in the Bible. Now, what this great secret is that lays beneath this seal, I do not know. I don't know it. I couldn't make it out. I couldn't tell it. just what it said. But I know that it was them seven thunders uttering themselves. Now, then when I see it, I look for the interpretation that flew across there, and I couldn't make it out. That's exactly right, friends. See, the hour isn't quite yet for it, 1963, but it's moving into that cycle. See, it's coming up close. So the thing for you to do is to remember that I speak to you in the name of the Lord. Be prepared, for you don't know what time something can happen. So you don't know the day or the hour, but we must be prepared. Now, when that gets on tape, which it is, that'll probably send 10,000 of my friends away from me, because they're going to say that Brother Branham's trying to put himself and make himself a servant or a prophet or something before God. Let me tell you, my brethren, that is an error. I'm only telling you what I've seen. And so people have misinterpreted that, of how he came about this. It's in the Pentecostal circles. He's trying to make himself some kind of a person like that. But remember, if I can get this point to you, that the revelation of Christ is totally different from our thinking. If you remember the message, God being misunderstood, he talks about that several times, how they misunderstood Christ. Why? Because it was a humanistic understanding. And so the more that we get in Christ, the more that we spend time with him, the more that he reveals to us, the more different that we will be from everybody else around us, including our family. But Enoch, different ones in the Bible, they lived off this revelation. We don't want to never put a man in it. You forget anything about me. I am your brother, a sinner saved by grace, not fit to live. That's exactly the truth. And I ain't saying that to be humble. That's facts. There's nothing in me, not one sound thing at all. But the grace of God has let me, my poor dimming eyes, look beyond the curtain of time and see those things yonder. And I come back. Let's all stand. Remember the Spirit of God, how it looks sometimes, the way it operates, contrary to the Scriptures, but it's not. If you look at the examples of Jesus when he was here on this earth, remember how many times, why did he always go against the Pharisees and do things on the Sabbath day? He was trying to make a point. Why does God do these things about, you know, Tamar, Rahab, the Ethiopian woman, healing on the Sabbath, you know, David eating the showbread, and all these different things? Why is he doing that? He's showing that he's God. He can do anything that he wants to. He's showing that there is grace there that can override the law. He's showing that there's a revelation, there's a spiritual revelation that we need to be understanding. The Pharisees thought they had it all locked in, but God moved right over the top of them by a spiritual revelation. Let us not miss that, brothers and sisters. Let us not get caught into, you know, dicing letters, but being in tune with him. Amen. Brother Branham said he didn't know the Bible that well, but he knew the author. Amen. Let us know the author. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you, O Lord, for thy word, O Lord. And Lord, it just amazes me so much that you have allowed imperfect people, imperfect, unworthy men, women, O Lord Jesus, to have the Spirit of Christ, your Holy Spirit in them, O Lord. Imperfect men to speak your word, speak a perfect word, O Lord, from an imperfect vessel. But we know it is the grace of God, dear Lord. Lord Jesus, we can't understand it. We can't even try to explain it, O Lord. Lord Jesus, just help us to just believe it and accept it, dear Father, and walk in your ways. Walk in the Spirit of God, O Lord Jesus, and be yielded to you. Lord, bless the song service and the preaching of the word, O Lord. Bless our brothers and sisters as we get closer to Thee, O Lord. Move our hearts, O Lord. Lord Jesus, bring us to that faith, O Lord, that You have called us to. In Thy name, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.